Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kean. Today we'll discuss the article by Yarbrough et al. Titled, Cardiac Restricted Overexpression or Deletion of Tissue Inhibitor of Matrix Metalloproteinase 4. This article published online July 3, 2014. My guests today are Deputy Editor Mary Lindsay, Lead Author Francis Spinelli, and expert Sam Kasiri. Let's get started.
Thanks, Kara. The Spinelli Lab investigated the role of TIMP4 in the pressure overload response to transverse aortic constriction. They compared TIMP4 null and TIMP4 cardiomyocyte-specific transgenic mice to FEB wild-type control mice. While all groups showed a hypertrophic response, TIMP4 deletion reduced survival and increased LV dilation and fibrosis. TIMP4 cardiomyocyte overexpression, on the other hand, improved ejection fraction and muted the fibrotic response. These results indicate that inducing TIMP4 in the setting of pressure overload may be beneficial. Frank, tell us how these results, particularly those in the cardiomyocyte overexpressing mice, go against our canonical thinking of TIMP roles.
The present study really started to question whether another TIMP, which is highly expressed in the myocardium, TIMP4 may actually not behave in the way that we classically thought, that it was a profibrotic molecule and that it would facilitate fibrosis, particularly in the heart failure process that is particularly troubling, which is that of hypertrophy secondary to a pressure overload. So the findings of this study, I believe, add to the growing compendium of work that suggests that these TIMP molecules are not what they seem, and that it was a very oversimplification, if you will, that these TIMPs are adverse molecules, basically because they were found at the scene of the crime, if you will, and that these molecules, these TIMPs, these individual TIMPs, likely have very different roles, and in fact may have very beneficial roles if placed in the proper context, in the context of myocardial remodeling and heart failure.
Thank you. Sam, you have extensively studied TIMP2 and TIMP3 null mice for their responses to pressure overload. How do the findings here with TIMP4 compare and contrast with what you've shown with TIMP2 and TIMP3?
That's a very good question. And I should say before I start that I really like this paper, mostly because it looks at both sides of the coin, if you will. It looks at the overexpression effect and as well as the deletion effect. And as Frank mentioned earlier, all individual TIMPs, they have different functions. The end result may be the same. Overexpressing TIMP4 may be as beneficial as TIMP3, but that's what we found in our studies, that the mechanism of action of these TIMPs are quite different.
Thank you. Frank, the cardiomyocyte overexpression design works here because TIMP4 is highly expressed in the myocyte. And in addition, the myocyte is the cell involved in the hypertrophic response to pressure overload. Can you discuss how this strategy may or may not be a good design for some of the other TIMPs and MMPs and for other cardiac pathologies such as MI?
There is a very distinctly different remodeling process and cellular and molecular events that occur in heart failure associated with myocardial injuries, such as myocardial infarction. In that particular case, the predominant cell type within the myocardial infarction in that active remodeling zone is the fibroblast. And therefore, using this strategy to overexpress TIMP4 in the context of myocardial infarction may not necessarily achieve the same type of levels within the remodeling tissue as we achieved here. Your question also underscores the importance of us recognizing that there's distinctly different phenotypes and pathways of heart failure, and that's associated with injuries such as myocardial infarction or myocarditis versus a pressure overload are distinctly different processes, distinctly different fibrotic pathways, and very likely, therefore, distinctly different roles that these TIMPs may play in both of those disease states.
That's a great answer, Frank. Definitely context means everything. Sam, this study showed that TIMP4 attenuates the profibrotic response by limiting fibroblast differentiation into myofibroblast. TIMP4 has also been shown to block MMP activity, particularly MMP14, and stimulate vascular smooth muscle cell apoptosis. These functions of TIMP4 suggest that exogenous TIMP4 administration could actually accomplish the same response, which gives the study high translational implications. What do you think?
I think what's important for us to keep in mind is that TIMP4 may serve different functions in different organs. So if we're dealing with a cardiac phenotype with a cardiomyopathy in a patient scenario, it's important to recognize the other complications that the patient is presenting. It does put it in a step up from perhaps the other TIMPs that may not serve the same function in treating these diseases. But when you're overexpressing something, again, it's the question of how many folds you're overexpressing, and like anything else, too much or too little of TIMP4 is not going to be good.
Those are good points. And also how long you would administer that therapy is something else to consider. Okay, Frank, TIMP4 is the only one of the four TIMPs that was downregulated in the wild-type mice following pressure overload. TIMP4 null mice showed increased TIMP1, while the TIMP4 overexpressing mice showed much lower TIMP1 levels. Does this mean that a main role for TIMP4 may be to limit TIMP1? What can you tell us about TIMP crosstalk?
Mary, you raised a very important point. In one of our recent papers in a clinical study, we observed that there was a concomitant rise in plasma levels of TIMP1 and TIMP4 in patients with pressure overload and left ventricular hypertrophy. However, TIMP1 levels continued to accelerate and TIMP4 levels started to fall in those patients that developed heart failure secondary to pressure overload. In these animal models, in these transgenic studies in the present paper, we've identified that that reciprocal relationship does indeed exist. And therefore, we believe that TIMP4 may, and we're not sure of the mechanism, but TIMP4 may modulate TIMP1 levels in such a way as to not only prevent certain changes in the matrix directly by the effects of TIMP4, but also by temporizing TIMP1 expression in the context of pressure overload.
Right. Your study really highlights that not only were there direct effects, but there was also indirect effects, and that looking at everything in the complex in vivo situation is a good way to approach it. Zam, how does TIMP4 fit into the concept of the extracellular matrix as an interstitial transport system? And yes, I'm specifically referring to your very nice review article that was published earlier this year.
That's a very good question, Mary, in terms of the function of TIMP4 in the extracellular matrix as an interstitial transportation system. I think when it comes to that, the role of TIMP4 is directly related to its function in inhibiting MMPs and degrading the ECM proteins. The function of the TIMPs, I strongly believe, goes beyond their MMP inhibitory function. And a lot of these effects that we see in the animal models and in the clinical studies, it could very well be related to the MMP-independent function of TIMPs, which goes well beyond the canonical definition of MMPs breaking down the ECM and TIMPs inhibiting them. I have a question, actually. I was going to, since we got Frank here, I wanted to ask, we do focus a lot on TIMPs and the beneficial effect of TIMPs in cardiac remodeling and cardiomyopathies. What are your thoughts on other MMP inhibitors that we often don't talk about much, like the REC and the alpha microglobulins? And do you think they could at any point serve as a therapeutic approach?
With respect to other MMP inhibitors, such as the ones that you mentioned, the endogenous ones that are primarily within the bloodstream, like alpha macroglobulin, that's a pretty high molecular weight protein. As a result of that, that's going to be a little tricky to use in the context of a delivery to a particular target area. I think we're going to need to be thinking about how we might be able to strategically deliver these both endogenous and synthesized molecules to the area of interest. And a molecular weight certainly is going to be a particular barrier there.
I agree with what Frank said, Zam. I think that taking advantage of endogenous inhibitors as a starting point for therapeutics is a good strategy. While the endogenous inhibitor may not be practical, it can at least give us some insight for developing other targets. In addition to the two that you mentioned, the pro-domain of the MMPs has been thought of as a way to get some selectivity and specificity, and that's not really been developed to great extent.
Yeah, and I also wonder if the MMP-independent function of TIMPs is what is setting them a little higher than these other MMP inhibitors as having beneficial effects. I don't think there has been any studies on the non-MMP function of REC or alpha microglobulin.
Excellent point. Go ahead, Frank.
I would like to continue to build upon the theme that you both have just raised, which is the non-MMP inhibitory aspects of these TIMP molecules. Again, we glean and steal from the cancer literature, if you will, but it is quite apparent that the N-terminus and the C-terminus of the TIMP molecules, particularly that of TIMP3, have very, very different and diverse functionality. And it is likely that if we were to start to build smaller peptide sequences based upon the framework of the entire native TIMP molecule, that we might be able to come up with very specific strategies that would alter a unique biological process over and above the common consensus domain, which inhibits MMPs. And so I think one of the future directions will be is to take studies such as the one that we have here regarding the entire TIMP4 molecule and start to parse out which of those domains holds unique functionality that would be of biological and, of course, therapeutic relevance.
That's a great idea, Frank. I don't know of anybody who has taken the individual TIMP domains and in isolation looked at what their functions have. Zam, do you know of any studies?
I'm aware of one lab in UK, Dr. Jill Murphy, who's done this work, and they have identified that the C-terminus and the N-terminus, they affect their MMP inhibitory versus ADAM inhibitory functions very distinctly. So I think Frank is right on the money on that one.
Which TIMP were they looking at?
TIMP3, that's what they were looking at.
Frank, thanks for publishing in AJP Heart. And Frank Spinelli, Zam Kasiri, thank you very much for discussing this article with me. Back to you, Kara.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.